Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What is it, honey?
It's that darn ghost again. He just won't leave us alone. I guess we're just going to have to move.
No, wait. Don't worry. We're not moving. He is.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Yes, that's right. Ghostbusters. We're back with twice the know-how and twice the particle power to deal with all your supernatural elimination needs.
Look out, Winston. He's a mean one.
Nothing we can't handle, Egon. So come, celebrate our grand reopening with our special half-price service plan.
What? Hold on. Half price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, Pete, because that's not all. Tell them, Egon.
Oh, you mean the Ghostbusters hot beverage thermal mug and free balloons for the kids?
You bet. So make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
Call now, because we're still
ready to believe you.
Busting makes me feel good.
Backpacks are heavy.
They take photos of the painting, and then when they get them back to the dark room, they've all got different images hidden with them, which as a child I was like, what? But apparently they're kind of hidden images.
Yeah, I like that. It doesn't explain why they've found them through the camera, but I like the idea that they had Ghostbustery technology that let them see that.
Yeah. Let's just say it was a special ghost camera.
Yeah, special ghost camera.
But the dark room locks them in and sets fire to all the pictures.
I like this bit. This feels like a genuine bit of stakes. And it's also nice to give Winston a hero's moment.
Something to do,
Given that, I'd not quite realised how little he's in this film. I thought he was in this one a little bit more than the first. But really, he isn't at all. This is like the first big thing he does.
Yeah, apparently that was one of Bill Murray's complaints, wasn't it? That Winston had nothing to do in this, so he didn't want to do another one.
Which is fair. Like, I do feel sorry for Ernie Hudson because he brings so much to the role and he's
great.
A lovely counterbalance to the others, but they just don't give him anything.
Yeah, although we should say he is an anal traitor because the, the official Ghostbusters account on Valentine's Day this year said no bummers on Valentine's Day. which I think they meant no, you know, bad vibes, but in Britain, obviously, that comes across differently.
Absolutely.
And then someone presented the picture of him getting bummed by his own photo at the convention. So like I said, that's why he's not on the posters. He's an anal traitor. The Ghostbusters officially have no bummers.
Yes. The court declared that he had to announce himself as an anal traitor.
Yeah. And he wasn't in the court either, was he? I've just remembered.
He pops up right at the beginning to like give them moral support.
Oh, that's right. Because he wasn't...
He just disappears again.
He wasn't there when they went down the street, which I've just remembered as well.
Which makes sense, but it's like they go out of the way to just not include him in things.
Yeah, it's really
like,
odd.
If it was me, I'd be taking it personally, like as both Winston and Ernie Hudson. Mm. Be like, I mean, I can go down in the sewer, guys. I can...
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Is it because I do anal sex? No. Is it because of that? Yeah, it is.
Is it because I once was caught on camera bumming myself?
Yeah, it is. We've got special ghost cameras, and it shows in the future you get bummed by yourself. So you're not in it. So, yeah, so they get nearly killed, and then Peter and Dana go out for a lovely dinner. But they're about to leave when the other Ghostbusters turn up and say, Peter, we've got it. There's loads of slime under the city in the sewers, and we're going to go and have a look. And then he goes to Dana, hey, the boys are going in the sewer. And she's like, no, you come with me for dinner, big boy. She doesn't say that.
No, she's suddenly not as worried about the problem that seems to be plaguing her life as she claimed to be. Yeah. Now she's got free dinner out of it. Mm. She's not fucking give a shit about the ghost tub.
That's right. You're quite right. She should be a bit more concerned, but she isn't.
Yeah, it affects her. She's lax in her responsibility, if you ask me.
And so is Pete, because he's going to get fingers and tops later, so he's all right. So they go in the old train tunnel, and we get a ghost train and severed fucking heads on spikes. What the fuck is this?
That was genuinely terrifying when I was a kid.
Yeah, but who's doing that? Because presumably that's a ghostly image. So who's putting the heads on spikes in a train tunnel?
Conductors.
Conductors, of course.
Like, I don't want to generalise, but I find people on public transport are not nice people.
No, I think you're quite right. That attracts a certain person, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the people that jump the turnstiles. That's what they do with them. Stick a head on the spike. Yeah. That fucking teacher, wasn't it?
So, yeah, then we get the scary bit, and then Ray's like, guys, I found a hole in the wall. And I was like, see? Once he's been blown by a ghost, he wants all sorts of action. But unfortunately, it's just a river of slime.
Well, yeah. It's his little den of spunk. It's been collected.
I've been filling this up for 5 years. When I got here, it was empty.
Yeah.
Why is it pink? I like milkshakes.
Damn near drained me dry.
It smells terrible. What'd you expect? It's 5 years old.
Oh, Ray.
So they fall in.
They fall. Well, what happens is Winston gets pulled off.
Oh, yes, doesn't he? Yeah.
And then Egon and Ray do that thing which always tells you people aren't acting to the full capabilities when they hold their nose to jump in the water.
Yeah.
That's it's panto acting.
And it's sort of if you can't beat them, join them thing.
Yeah, absolutely that.
And then they jump in, and he turns to Ray and goes, stop drinking it. It's disgusting. Everyone likes their own flavour. So Peter and Dana are having a romantic meal. Meanwhile.
It's got me, I'm sorry. The identity of Ray just not worrying about it, but just drinking it. It's like my own personal list, quick.
To be fair, he drank it all in one go. Didn't even stop.
He did.
Lewis and Janine are babysitting. And then they start having it off. And I suspect that Lewis is hung like a fucking ape.
Well, he must be. He must be.
Because Janine's all over him.
But she quite quickly, which it feels bold to turn around to someone and say, do you want a baby? And then... Yeah.
Also, we should mention she's the one that's been the most real Ghostbuster-y, if that makes sense.
Yes.
They've given her the glasses and hair from the cartoon.
Yeah, she's like Dayglow Janine in this one. It's really.
I think they should have given Harold Ramis the blonde quiff. Just for comedy purposes. Well,
they give him the height, they just don't give him the colour, I think. Mm. Like in that first scene where he meets Dana again. Yeah. It's fucking huge. It's a glorious head of hair.
Like a proper pompadour. Is it a pompadour, it's called? Like Elvis had pompadour.
Let's go with that. The Scarlet Pompadour.
Yeah, yeah. So they start having it off. So then Ray, Egon, and Winston come out of the manhole cover.
Yeah, which I'm not much of an expert on film symbolism, but Janine instigating sex and then seeing three dripping wet men coming out of a goo-filled hole. Feels a little on the nose.
They look like they've been at a bukkake party hosted by Grimace.
That's exactly it.
As Ronald McDonald applauds from the sidelines.
Yeah.
They're all livid. Absolutely livid.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they realise, and then Egon goes, take your clothes off. It's like, not now. But no, it's the slime.
Shut up and do it.
Yeah. This is good lube. They seem to waste it.
But it's such an odd thing. Like, he says, take your clothes off, and they take their jackets off and their trousers, and suddenly they're better despite still being covered in goo.
Their heads are literally covered in it. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, which would suggest that the only like weakness for the goo is a high thread count. And I'm not sure I believe that.
Because he says, shut up, you anal traitor. And then Winston says, I'll kill you. I'll knock your block off or something. And then he goes, I was ready to kill you, man. And they realise it was the slime doing it.
And I'd never heard it before, but at that moment as well, Ray shouts out, I want you bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is explicit.
He nearly became an anal traitor himself.
Well, it happens to us all eventually.
Well, yeah. They storm Pia's dinner and they flick slime all over a lady.
It's suddenly at this point it turns into the Mr. Creosote sketch.
It does, yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
There's a good bit though where they're going on and on and on and on and on, and then Bill Murray just goes, guys, you're scaring the straights. Could this not wait till tomorrow?
Like the fact that they position him very different from the other three.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's trying to remain sane at all times and they're looking increasingly more insane.
It's brilliant. And then the police turn up and take them all away. And they're arrested to the tune of, well, I guess we're gonna And then we get a cameo from the man himself.
Yeah, Bobby Brown.
He says, my kid brother wants one of those proton packs. And Dan Aykroyd goes, says, not a toy.
Yeah, but he is bang wrong because I had one as a kid and I fucking loved it.
He says, I'll give you some Crystal Head vodka though. And then he goes, oh, thanks. Yeah. And he goes, $100.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm selling it at a car park.
The jar back.
Yeah. So then Dana goes home and catches Louis hard fucking Janine.
Yeah, with his fly up, his belt off and his fly up, which is a hell of a technique.
And then they're like, oh, sorry about that. And she's like, that's fine. How's the baby?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
She's quite calm about the live sex show that's going on.
Very calm. Very calm. Louis is literally covered in kiss marks.
Yeah. Janine is ravenous.
Oh. She demands some satisfaction. So then the Ghostbusters go and tell the mayor of their discoveries. My favourite joke in the whole film is when Ray goes, Mr. Mayor, I just want to let you know, almost 50% of us voted for you in the last election.
Yeah, it's such a great line.
It's a brilliant joke.
Yeah, it is.
And he's just like,
David Margulies being like, oh, these cunts again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, I'm having none of this.
Not even bothered this time.
Not even bothered. He's like, ah, don't be so stupid. There's no ghost, idiot. And then he leaves. I've given you my time. Yeah. I'm out of here. And then he leaves. And then they're going, well, I guess the press would like to know about this. So the mayor's assistant, Hardemeyer, says, oh, well, I've got some people downtown I'd like you to speak to. He only bloody commits them to a mental institute.
Oh, what a baddie. What a baddie.
So then, meanwhile, Janusz makes a deal with Vigo. He says, look, if I bring you this child, can I have it off with the mum? And he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Not even thought of that.
But would you do me a favour, Janusz? Anything you like, Vigo. Would you dress as an old lady? Why? Just dress as an old lady and push this buggy I've just made.
Yeah. This is one of those things we've talked about where you don't question what I'm asking you to do, you just do it. Get the baby, put this dress on and these bloomers. Don't ask questions.
Why bloomers? Can't I have the stockings? No.
No. No. You're too old.
Yeah, it's such a weird moment when you break it down that he turns undressed as a nanny.
Yeah. Which I think is just so that she knows it's him and she goes to the museum. But then why didn't he just take her as well if he wants her?
Exactly, he wants her bad. He could have brought a pram and a wheelchair.
I think they cut a scene where he got back to the museum and Vigo's like, did you get the mother? And he's like, oh, I knew there was something else. Should have written it down.
I'll take the mini metro.
Yeah, I'll be back in a minute.
So I had the Ghostbusters 2 calendar at this point.
Ooh, nice.
And this was one of the months, was a picture of him with his long arm stretching out.
Yeah, going the full Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. So then we cut back to the Mental Institute, and the Ghostbusters are explaining to Bill Murray's brother, Brian.
Yeah, Venkman of Christmas yet to
future.
Come.
Yeah, exactly. The mayor of Groundhog Day, the mayor of Gobbler's Knob.
It absolutely blew my mind when I was watching it, because I didn't realise that they were related, but I was like, he just looked, it's just Peter. Mm. Why are there two Peters?
And then you watch Scrooge and his other brothers in it as well. His other two brothers are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
And but Brian just plays his dad in Scrooge.
Oh my God,
it is, yeah. Oh my God. So then you get the good bit where they're all going on about, they're all telling, we made a toaster dance, the slime did this. Yeah. And then he says to Bill Murray, what do you think? And he goes, I don't know, I think these guys are nuts.
Which is, just so many great moments for him where he's just dismissive of the whole thing because it suits him.
But also because that's reality of how he was feeling about this film. He's not even acting there. He's just fed up.
So I don't know what's going on.
No. So Dana then goes into the museum. And as she walks in, it gets covered like in a big jelly mould.
Yes. It's covered in cum crust.
Yeah. Cum crust bun. New from Warburton's.
I see Samuel L. Jackson try to flog that.
I'm sure I'd like to see him flogging it for that advert. So then he puts Oscar on a little shrine, a little plinth.
Yeah.
And puts Dana in a little jail cell thing.
Yeah, not before she gets trapped by a vacuum thing.
Yeah, that's a bit later, but yeah. And then they've looked at the watch and gone, oh, we're at that bit again where we have to have another montage of ghosts attacking people.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't make the rules.
Yeah. But luckily, in the writing process, they went, oh, you remember that idea from the first film that we didn't get to use?
Yeah.
We'll just do that.
Yeah.
We'll just do that bit.
And do you remember in the first film where that ghost comes roaring out of the subway, the pointy ghost? Let's do that, but it's coming out of a cinema this time.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the idea from the first film is the coat, isn't it, with all the little fox, little animals, minks.
Yeah, which I think they storyboarded. I don't know if they shot it in the end, but they certainly had every intention of doing it, and it didn't happen.
Mm. Well, it did in this one.
The one I did, Well, the one I did like though is the Titanic bit, which just feels like a different vibe.
Yeah,
to some of it's not just a monster attacking; it's like just a different type of ghost.
That feels like something that would have happened in the first film. I like that one.
Yeah.
Because it's got a good joke, definitely. Isn't it? The better late than never. With Cheech Moran.
Better late than never.
He should be smoking on a big doobie. That'd be good. Because then he'd look at the doobie. If it was 1984, that would definitely be what happened. He'd look at the doobie, then look at the Titanic. Yeah.
Yeah. Then rub his eyes.
Yeah. Because in 1984, you could have moments like that in kids' films. Hence, Dan Aykroyd getting his cock sucked.
Yeah.
Okay. Which wouldn't have been in this film, because this is for kids.
It's true. Well, funnily enough, when they go to the mayor's office to talk to him, I realised where the shift was, is in that in the first film they call Walter Peck Dickless.
Yeah.
In this film they call whatever his name is.
Again. Yeah.
They call him Budgie Brain.
That's right, Budgie Brain.
Which feels like a real demotion.
Yeah. If I was the director, I'd have gone, do you want to take another run at that? Because that's appalling.
Yeah.
Absolutely appalling. It's like do you remember in the first one where they did those promos for it, and there's that one they did where they just swore all the way through it?
Yes, yeah.
See, they wouldn't do that in this film.
No.
Couldn't be bothered. So then the mayor, on hearing ghosts everywhere, says, I'm going to go down in history as the mayor that New York gets sucked down into the 10th level of hell. I was like, you've already done that. You're like the mayor from Jaws. Which, by the way, is a joke they do in the 2016 film, which I did enjoy.
Andy Garcia.
Yeah. Never call me that. Me that up. And then he says, I spent an hour last night in my bedroom talking to Florello LaGuardia. He's been dead for 40 years. We're the Ghostbusters. And then Hardemeyer says, well, I had them committed.
You did what? Oh, I love it. There's no bishop in this one, though. Rocking up to get involved.
They should have a rabbi or something, or I don't know, Buddha himself.
The Dalai Lama walks in.
Dalai Lama comes in and tries to kiss a boy. No, don't do that again.
What's going on, guys? Listen, I need a kid. Get out!
No, not you as well. No, not like he does. I need a... No, get out.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Ghostbusters turn up and we get a big fanfare, and they shoot their proton packs at the mold. Now, this is what's lacking from the first film. We get a constant dialogue about what they're using these packs for, right?
Yes.
So Egon's like, Jesus, all the way through, well, Egon's like, these things are fucking lethal. We can't piss about with them. This one, they're like, let's just fire it at that. And I'm thinking, this is not something Egon would put up with.
Yeah, it is the thing that... the other Ghostbusters films don't have, which is that real tangible feeling of like these are real ideas and real bits of science that they've made work.
Yeah.
And this bit reeks of it. But also the performance I was looking at this time around, where it's like they're not fully even trained. Like I think Dan Aykroyd in particular is just, it's given up before the effects have even stopped
You're
working.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. But there's that bit in the first one where Venkman says each one of us is carrying an unlicensed nuclear reactor on his back or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get that here at all. They're just like, well, we'll just fucking fire this thing at it and see what happens. But you've been doing all this research about what the mood slime is and what it does. Surely they should have turned up with some sort of opposite slime which causes it to melt or something.
Yeah.
But it just screams to me about the laziness of this film that they're just like, we're going to have a scene where they fire the proton packs and it doesn't work. But that shows that they're not fucking arsed.
Yeah, they're not tackling it cleverly. Yes, I agree completely.
So then the crowd boos at them, which I enjoyed. Boo! I'm grateful.
It's just New York being wishy-washy with whether they care to believe that the Ghostbusters are real.
So then he says that slime mold is pulsing with evil. It would take a tremendous amount of positive energy to crack the shell, and I doubt there's enough goodwill left in this town.
And do you know what? He could be right. He could be right.
He says there's got to be a few sparks of sweet humanity left in this burned-out burg, and we just have to figure out a way to mobilise it. And then they see the Statue of Liberty on a license plate, and they think for a second, and I just want to compute this in my mind, they think, well, we'll just get the Statue of Liberty to animate and walk and come here and smash a hole in the roof.
Yeah, but collectively, they've all agreed it together without uttering a word.
Mm.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think they should have looked around and seen an advert for Mr. Rogers' Neighbourhood and then tried to get up his bumhole. Because he's a positive man.
That would have done it, for sure. Yeah. He'd have sat down on the museum steps and took off his trainers. But I was also thinking, like, it's very fortunate that picture was on that license plate at the moment. Like, if it was shot in the UK, it would be like a DVLA logo. So that's not inspiring positivity
in
any way.
They turn up in a giant honk if you bonk sign.
What it should have been is a good pair of truck nuts. And yeah. Then you've gone, oh, yeah, that's it.
Or that little thing that whether you push it, you pump it up and he pulls his trousers down. You go, psh, 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 and then he pulls his trousers right down. Shows his little yellow bum. Or a giant sticky Garfield in the window. Bill Murray could have done the voice.
He did. And I watched that the other week, funnily enough, with my kids. And and if you want to see him trying less at a performance, I recommend it.
He does pay that off nicely in Zombieland, though, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he does, to be fair.
And he regrets Garfield, maybe.
Well, I remember reading a story, which I believe is true, is that because one of the writers was called Ethan Coen.
Yeah.
Is that he thought it was a Coen brother, but it wasn't a Coen brother.
Oh, my God.
But by that point, he'd agreed to sign up to a live-action Garfield film, fully convinced that the Coen brothers were behind.
Well, the weird thing about him and Garfield, isn't it? Because in the Garfield cartoon, the original 80s one, he's voiced by Lorenzo Music.
Yeah.
Then Bill Murray plays Venkman. Then they do the real Ghostbusters, and Lorenzo Music does Venkman. Then they do the Garfield movie, and Bill Murray does Garfield. So they're kind of interchangeable.
Yes, but I like that. I remember when the film came out, I was like, that's a solid decision to replicate that.
I think that when Bill Murray dies, he should be buried on top of Lorenzo Music's grave. Just to make it rhyme, like George Lucas says. So they go in the Statue of Liberty and pump it full of hot juice.
Of course they do. Spunking all over that lady.
And play... Oh, and then we cut to... they're playing higher and higher and it starts animating and walking and its dress goes... Fire comes out of the torch.
Yeah.
The dress becomes sort of all movable.
And it starts walking. It all makes sense. It all makes sense.
So then Lewis, because we haven't got anything to do with him, we can't think... He puts on a Ghostbusters suit and runs out wearing earmuffs. And then Slimer's driving the bus. And again, this is the cartoon leaking into the film, because in the cartoon, Slimer's a character. But in the film, it's just a tribute to a dead fat bloke.
Yeah, but they've also changed the design so much that it doesn't really even resemble the character or the original man.
No. Well, again,
unless Slimer's had a lot of work done after the first film.
And probably. That's what happens when you get famous, isn't it?
Well, of course.
Stylist.
I'm thinking more like surgical work.
Yeah.
Because he's a different shape. There's nothing about it that's remotely slimy.
But I think that's another thing, is that the script feels like it was tossed out in a couple of days, but the effects in this, they've taken real time and love and care over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're
so
really
much
good.
Of it is as strong as the first one.
Yeah.
It's just like you say, it's lacking a certain amount of originality that would have just made it hit that little bit harder.
Yeah. So Lewis gets on the bus.
Yeah.
So it's such a copy of the first film that we need another big thing walking about at the end.
Yes. I don't get why that was the decision to go with something so clearly similar. I get the idea behind it. Because the thing that I realised when I rewatched these films before Afterlife came out, because I thought it might make me enjoy that more.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't.
No.
The thing that I noticed about this film, which I really liked as a bold idea for a sequel, is that it fundamentally rejects the cynical tone of the first one. And it's a lot more about love and positivity and Peter being like a softer character, which I thought was a really interesting take. But I don't understand how that still leads you to, we'll just have a big thing walking around stunning people.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that speaks to what I was saying earlier about we're leaving the 80s, we're going into the 90s where everything's a lot more touchy-feely and nice, whereas the 80s, particularly when the first one was made, is all about everything's shit.
Yes,
The first film just shouts at that.
Yeah, it does.
Also, I think Ghostbusters Afterlife, what a nice touch for the fans would have been, is that when Winston turns up at the end to bust Gozor, or whatever it is again, the ghost of Egon comes up behind him and mimes bumming him.
Yeah, it was missing. It certainly was a beat that was
winks
missing.
And winks at us, eh?
But I can't even believe how little they brought them into that film.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They just... Tell you what, we'll do it one day.
Yeah.
because you're a Ghostbusters fan. We'll talk about it.
I am more than happy to do that.
Let's do
that. I'll talk about every Ghostbusters.
Let's do that.
I'm easy.
You're now my Ghostbusters man. We're going to do it. All right. So
perfect.
So the Statue of Liberty turns up, breaks through the museum. They all get in, and they immediately cover. They break through the ceiling, which stops Viggo from possessing Oscar because Dana runs off with the baby.
Yes.
And they come through the ceiling on ropes. And Janos is like, "You have ruined everything." I know he's not Dutch, but would you like a smoke of a pancake? Sure, there is no pleasing you. No, and they cover him with positive slime. Now, have we really done enough to establish this positive slime thing? Apart from the toaster.
Probably not.
No.
Like, I feel like there is a beat missing where they talk about the work that they've done to weaponize it.
Mm.
But also, like, all that information comes to you in the middle of all the action of them hosing down Janos. And
yeah,
I feel like it's not quite enough.
Also, feels a bit like they've killed Janos. It's like lying there still, covered in goop.
Yeah,
have we killed him?
Have we spooked him to death?
Looks like he spent 10 hours with 50 Japanese businessmen. So then they're like, ha ha ha, and then Viggo appears physically. He's not in the painting anymore.
He's out.
And then Ray basically says to him, "Go fuck a dog." He says, "You want to get someone pregnant? Go and find, dig up a hellhound."
Yeah. I mean, it's a step up from Budgie Brain.
Yeah, it's true. Viggo should stop and go, "You want me to fuck a dog?
Hang on. What are you asking me to do?"
"I'm not going to do it, tell you that. I've heard about you. I met a fork ghost that said you tasted awful." So then Viggo knocks them all down, and basically they're all trapped. They can't move, and Peter decides it's best to just slag him off by saying, "You're an idiot, stupid."
Yeah.
But then Viggo hears the sound of the crowd outside singing "Auld Lang Syne."
Yeah.
And it's enough to send him back into the painting.
Yeah. Well, it was either that or it was Jules Holland with "Enjoy Yourself. It's later than you think."
Jules Holland walks in and boogie woogies Viggo back into the painting.
Yeah. "That was Viggo. And
he
now."
Yeah, because he could move round to the painting, you know, with his no neck. "Viggo."
Yeah.
But Viggo now turns into like a sort of bulldog looking thing.
Yeah, he looks like a fire damaged Care Bear.
He does, you're right, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, he looks like that thing that you see every year that someone's made a teddy bear out of meat. You see that on Twitter every year. Then Ray stands in front of the painting and Egon says, "Ray, we'd like to destroy the painting now, please." And he's been possessed again.
Yeah.
Which he should have done in the first place. Ray turns around and goes, "I am Viggo."
Yeah.
And they go, "Hose him."
Yeah. "Spunk this one, shoot the next one."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ray gets hosed.
Yeah, it's a little bit too late to bring that element back and make it, like, it feels like it should be bigger. It should be a bigger thing that he's taken over the body of a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, it really should.
Yeah.
So they then blast the painting, which explodes. Outside, Lewis Tully's arrived, wearing a proton pack, which, as we mentioned earlier, is an unlicensed nuclear reactor. Turns up in a public place, starts fucking firing it about. Where he could have killed a boy. Imagine if he'd have killed a boy.
Oh. Well, that's the real crime of this film, is that you don't actually know the death count caused by Lewis Tully.
And if Slimer and him, what happened to them on the bus?
Well, yeah.
We'll never know. Who cares, though, really?
It's not fully established in this film that Slimer is a friend of the Ghostbusters.
No.
So really, that's one job he could have done on the way to saving the city.
Well, we should have mentioned earlier in the montage, we get a bit where Lewis says, "It smells like someone took a great big shh," and he turns around and Slimer's eating his lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what Slimer does. He fucking loves a lunch.
Fucking loves eating, doesn't he? It's almost as if he's the ghost of John Belushi.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, it's either that or he'd be wearing shades and singing R&B songs.
I was reading about the death of John Belushi the other day, right? And Dan Aykroyd said, when I heard, I was literally writing a line for him to say in Ghostbusters because he was going to be Venkman. And I read that and I thought, I'm quite pleased he died. Because Bill Murray's much better, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
Can you imagine John Belushi as Venkman? He wouldn't have been as good, would he?
It would have been a whole different vibe.
All right, let me just say, I'm not pleased he died. That sounds awful. Because I'm a fan of John Belushi. I don't mean it like that. I just mean that I'm pleased he didn't do the film. I should say that.
Yeah, I think so. And it's similar with John Candy being Lewis Tully.
Yeah, because he wanted to do it as like what they called the Schnurgen, whatever they're called. He wanted to do it as like the German accent thing.
Yeah, which feels... It's that. Like, the first one had a lot of control over just how crazy they pushed things.
Yeah.
And all the kind of real-world stuff felt grounded. All the ghost stuff was a lot more... was where they kind of let loose a bit more.
Yeah.
This one, there's a slight mingling of those two things.
Because this one wants to win over all the fans of the cartoon, so it kind of blurs reality.
Yes, yeah,
which is definitely another thing against it, I think. But never mind. So Ray is now up, and he's been sprayed with pure MDMA. He's like going to Janos, I love you. Love you, I do.
Love you,
Janos,
man.
Goes, I love you as well. Apparently, all
you
we
know
should...
Because Janos, I love you too.
Janos stinks as well, doesn't he? Dana says that earlier.
Yes, she does, actually, yeah.
She says, you fucking stink. You prick.
But, I mean, some bloke comes running towards you covered in spunk wanting a hug.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's bigger problems.
Yeah. So then afterwards we get the end credits and we get the city doing a celebration to the Ghostbusters in front of the now put back in place Statue of Liberty, which was lying down outside like a dead sex worker.
Which I've never noticed before is that they clearly got out of it and the slime wore off and then it fell over and presumably crushed a good couple of thousand people.
It crushed all the lads from the cancer ward that had just been cured and were out on a day trip.
See, guys? Isn't it great to be outdoors?
Oh, the irony. Killed by a symbol of freedom. So then we get the end credits, as we say, and then one of them goes, oh, and Slimer. Fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even discussed the fact that the picture turns into a
pristine
painting of the four Ghostbusters and a child,
which was the December month in the Ghostbusters 2 calendar, by the way.
Of course it was.
Yeah,
of course.
Which is what fucking stupid idea is that?
Yeah, that's the one thing that I really don't have the strength to defend about this film.
They're like, oh, it looks like a Rembrandt. No, it's more a Leonardo. And then it gets to the Figment and he goes, looks like a fettuccine. Then he starts jerking it. Put it away. No, it's just...
I mean, I'm just glad that Winston's in it. There was a very good chance that it was just going to be the three of them and a kid.
It would be Winston's like that bit in Monsters,
Inc. What the fuck's going on?
The baby's covering his face. What? Do you guys just hate me or what?
What the fuck is this?
But yeah. That's what annoys me about the sequel. Because that's the end, obviously. But that's what annoys me. It's like you could have done a sequel years later with Oscar being involved in some way or another. But they haven't done that at all.
No, but they did talk about that, didn't they, for a long time?
Did they?
That was a lot of what the Ghostbusters 3 Hellbent was going to be, was that Oscar was older and joining the ranks.
Right.
But, yeah, it's... I mean, I don't want to go into Afterlife at the moment. I don't mind what they did. I just don't like a lot of the decisions they made to get themselves to that point.
But for me, this film is up there with, like, Superman 4, Rocky 4... Yep. In films that I know are demonstrably bad, but I get a warm feeling from watching them, and it feels because of the age I was when I enjoyed them, you know, when I saw them.
Yeah.
So I just wish they'd have done more with it. As I said earlier, I don't want to labour the point, but I still enjoy it. It's not as good as the first one, but it's still fun.
Yeah, I know. I can absolutely see that, but I agree completely. Like, I think it has a very special place for me, and I can enjoy it quite easily without picking it apart, but I think I agree there's an element of imagination that's maybe missing from it.
Yeah.
But then that said, when there was all this talk of a potential Ghostbusters 3 and bringing back the older cast, I always felt what they should have done is do a third one that also followed the same structure and just had it as like three nice little similar running things that just keep letting you dip into those characters' worlds, because by that point they're very good at running with who the characters are and how they interact with each other. So yeah. To have a third one that was also a little bit similar, maybe not a big fucking thing walking around a city again, but just like
But I think the worry is always that to remember that the first script for Ghostbusters was absolutely nothing like the finished film because Dan Aykroyd is mentally ill. And it was just really strange. And it was Harold Ramis and Ivan Reitman that sort of helped tune it into what it became.
Yeah.
So without them, and you'd worry, wouldn't you? Because what would do? Well, unfettered Aykroyd is quite a worrying thing. You get nothing but trouble. Yeah.
Well, that's what it seemed like when there was all the talk in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s of another Ghostbusters, and it was always Dan Aykroyd talking about it. And he was like, yeah, the devil's like a game show host, and it's Manhelion, not Manhattan. And you're just like, all right, Dan, let's rope back and get Harold involved and just try and tone this down a bit.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but can I just buy the vodka?
yeah, sorry, mate, here you go.
Anyway, so... Rob, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure for me. I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're very funny.
Oh, thank you very much. And
if you get a chance, If you can, follow Rob on Twitter because he has got a cavalcade of comedy characters.
Whoa!
And I mean that non-ironically.
Crazy.
So there you go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here. And we will come back and we'll talk about more.
Yes, that'd be lovely. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.